Certainly good to look out in the audience this morning to see you with us. We appreciate your presence among us, especially those that are visiting with us. We're so thankful that you've come to be with us and invite you back anytime you may have the opportunity to be with us at our services here at Market Street. It is a blessing to be able to come and to worship and to serve the Lord. It's a blessing to be able to be among people that have the common goals, common outlook. And for that, we are thankful that we are here at Market Street and that we see that kind of thing. And I really think this is probably too loud. Somebody back there. It's really irritating me anyway. I don't know about you, but I don't need to hear myself that loud. But anyway, it is certainly good to see you in the audience this morning. Peanuts cartoon. I don't know if y'all ever look at those in the newspaper. Of course, you don't ever look at the newspaper anymore, but, you know, they used to come out in the newspapers. And I remember getting the comic strips out, and you'd look at them. They were funny pages, and Daddy would get the paper, and we'd look at the comic strips, you know. That was our paper. There was a cartoon that came out, Peanuts, where Peppermint Patty it came in from the first day of school, and she said, "I went to the principal's office today," she told Charlie. And she said, "It's your fault." Charlie said, "How is it my fault that you went to the principal's office?" She said, "Well, you're my friend, aren't you? You should have been a better influence on me." Isn't that the way it is? We need a better influence. We need better influence. This morning I want to think about the idea of talking about sending the light. As we think about our lives and we think about the lives that we live, that we need to really be that light shining brightly, that we're shining that influence of our lives upon the lives of others. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn to Matthew chapter 5. And that is what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5 when he talks about this passage, about this light that we have. In verse 14, he begins, as he's already talking about the salt of the earth, but in verse 14, he now uses the analogy of a light. He says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." You know, think about how it is that the we are to be a light to the world. We are to be that light that's shining in darkness. We are to be that good influence to those that are in the world that are around us. You know, I think it's the idea of being a good influence as individuals, being a good influence as a body of people, as a church that meets here at Market Street. When someone says, "Where do you go to church?" and you say, "I go to church at Market Street Church of Christ." Then somebody sits there and says, "Oh, yes, that's a good place. I know a lot of good people go there." And you know, I've had that several times when I talk to people and I go up and tell them, "What do you do?" And I say, "Well, I preach at Market Street Church of Christ." And I've never had anybody tell me, "Boy, that's the worst place you could ever be." I have talked to people before at different times and places. Maybe I would be in a meeting or something, and we'd be there, and some conversation be had. You'd say, "Well, what are you doing?" And they'd say, "Well, I'm over here, we're working this." And they would say, "Oh." And you could tell by the expression, it wasn't good. Not a good influence. We need to make sure that we are sending the light. Today, many people seem to think in the religious world that really Christianity is about a personal relationship with God. And yes, there is a personal aspect of our relationship. Our relationship between God and us is what it is. But there is something else about our relationship with God and Him with us That does mean that we should try to radiate that influence to those that are around us. That we don't just see ourselves as an island to ourselves and we think this is what it's all about. But the idea of the people of God, the church, is that we ought to impact and we ought to be reaching out and trying to teach those that are lost. And if we don't understand this, then we don't really understand what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 5. When he talks about letting your light shine, the whole idea here is that he's saying, you need to send the light. And we do this when we go out and we let the light be seen. When we go out and we talk to others about Jesus Christ. When we talk to others about the church. When we talk to others about what we are involved in and doing. When we work collectively as we work and we have gospel meetings and vacation Bible schools and we're out inviting, we're bringing people in and we're trying to do this, or we're sending out evangelists to go and to preach the gospel to other places where the gospel needs to be taught. But lots of people look at that work and they say it's just easier to do nothing. It's easier to sit in the pew and just do nothing. And that's not what Jesus said we should do. This morning, let's talk about sin the light. The first thing I want to notice with you as we think about considering the responsibility we have in sending the light, and that we need to send the light so that others might see, the first thing we need to understand is we must have a connection to the light. It's hard to send the light if you don't have a connection to the light. Jesus is the light. If you will take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. We'll just start there. And notice what he says in John 1. Look with me in verse 1. When John begins his gospel, and he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Drop down with me to verse 9. It says, but that was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus Christ is the light. If we will turn over in your Bible to the 8th chapter of John chapter 8, look with me in verse 12. And again we see in John chapter 8 and verse 12 when I get there, that Jesus says on this occasion of himself, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When Christ lives in our lives, we become the light of the world. We are shining for Jesus. Our light's not to be hidden. Got something going on behind me here. We're not to hide our lights. You know, did you remember back in Matthew chapter 5, it says, no man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. We're not to be hiding our lights. How many times is it that we do just that? We may shrink back from connecting ourselves to the light. Or wanting somebody else to know we're connected to the light. See, we got to have a connection to the light. And so we have to have that connection. And when we have that connection, then we radiate that influence of our lives to the light. But sometimes it may be that we're in an audience, we're around people, and somebody says, oh, are you? And we kind of shrink down to the idea of religious discussions. We shrink back from the idea of saying, you know, Jesus Christ is who my life is. That is what my life is about. Because we don't want somebody to think we're a religious fanatic. We want them to think we're normal people. We want them to think that we are just like everybody else. And we don't. And so we shrink back from that. And so we don't shine the light for Jesus. We try to hide the light. But no man lights a candle and hides the light. But you put it on that candlestick so that all might be able to see. Why would we desire to hide the light in our life? We should not. And that's what Jesus is teaching. And so when we have this connection to the light, we need to connect ourselves and tell everybody else about it. Now, I want to tell you, when you do that, you're going to be like the Apostle Paul. You know, do you ever think about the life of the Apostle Paul? You think about his life as he was as the Saul of Tarsus before he was connected to Christ at all, and how he went about persecuting the church. Then you look at Paul's later life and you see his life and you just think about statements that Paul makes. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Why? To go to be with Christ. Now that wasn't the life he lived before. When he lived in the flesh and he was a Pharisee, and that wasn't the kind of life. No, he was living in the court of the flesh. He saw his righteousness in himself. He saw his righteousness in who he was. But now he's not looking for righteousness in himself, but he's looking for righteousness that's found in Christ. And we see these types of things in the Apostle Paul. Paul goes and he writes to the Corinthians, he says, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech. No, I came to you in much fear and trembling. In weakness. But I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I want to tell you about was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I want you to know about me was about Jesus Christ. And then I've turned in my Bible to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And you read that statement there from the Apostle Paul, and what does it say? He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life is about Jesus Christ. The life I live is about Jesus Christ. My whole life is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. That is the influence of Paul. Now, how is it that you get to where Paul is with a life where all he is wrapped up in is Jesus Christ? That's what he lives. His whole life is about Jesus Christ. And somebody says, I would like to have that. I would too. We all do. You want to know the secret to that? It was his connection to the light. And the connection to the light starts with submission. It starts with submission. He submitted himself to Jesus Christ. You remember there in Acts chapter 9 when he was on the way to the Damascus to receive a letter to bring Christians back bound to Jerusalem? You remember that? You remember when he is struck blind, he's there on the road, and he says, who is it? And he says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. He said, go down and wait, and it'll be told you what you must do. Ananias comes in there on that occasion. We read later on as Paul is recounting this in Acts chapter 16, chapter 22. He recounts his conversion on those two occasions. Ananias comes into him, and he says, Brother Saul, why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. You know, that's exactly what he did. Why? Because he submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Paul made him the Lord of his life. While on maneuvers, there was a battleship that was headed, and there was a light coming toward it, and it saw the light. It said, radioed out the captain, said, change your course 20 degrees. Came back on the radio, you change your course 20 degrees. The captain replied, I'm the captain of the ship, and I'm telling you, you change your course 20 degrees. He said, well, I'm just a seaman, but I'm telling you, change your course 20 degrees. He said, you don't understand the captain of the battleship. He says, I am a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. He said, no, I'm a lighthouse. You do what you wish. Y'all got that? Who are you going to submit to? What are you going to do? Is that not the way we are in life? We sit there and we argue about things. And Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul understood that. He had the connection with the light and he submitted to the light. And that made everything different about his life. But the second thing, I think we've lost this, but that's fine. The second point is that we need to understand that sin to light is an intentional choice. It's an intentional choice. Go back, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And notice what he says here in verse 16. He says, let your light so shine. Each person must make this choice for themselves. I cannot make this choice for my wife. If I'm a wife, I cannot make this choice for my husband. I cannot make this choice for my children. I cannot make this choice for my parents. I cannot make this choice for anybody else. It's me. It's my choice. It is my light, and I must let my light shine. That's what Jesus is saying. You're either going to shine and send your light, or you're going to choose not to shine and not to send your light. The choice is absolutely yours. But we need to understand it is our responsibility to shine the light. It's our choice. Nobody is going to say, well, you didn't shine your light. Nobody's going to come to you at the end of the day and say, did you shine your light today when you had the opportunity here, an opportunity there? Only you will know whether you did. Only you will be the one who can say, yes, I let my light shine. But you know who does know? The light knows. The light knows whether the light has been shown. But the light is not going to make us shine. The light is not going to force us to shine for him. What Jesus says, he said, let your light shine. You know, we teach the children song. We stick our hands up in the air, don't we? And we sing, this little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And we think, oh, that's a beautiful song, those little children singing that song. But I'm going to tell you, that song is not a children's song. That's a song that every one of us needs to sing. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. It's your choice. It is your choice, and you must make that intentional choice. And you know, when we think about letting the light shine, then we need to understand that we are shining the light for Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you about something about shining this light. It's something that we learn from Isaiah chapter 45, and that is what we learn in Isaiah 45 in verse 7. When this is what the prophet says, he says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all things. See, the light is about God. The light is about him. And he says, I form the light. I create the darkness. I make the peace. God owns it all. The whole idea here is that he forms something, is that he squeezes it. He is like in the analogy in Isaiah chapter 54, is a clay in the potter's hand. And what I'm doing is I'm allowing God to take my life and to form it, to make it what it ought to be, that my light will be shining for him. But am I doing that? No, the easy thing for me to do is to sit back and do nothing, to just go along with the with the world and go along with the flow. That's the easy way. Nobody's going to bother me then. Nobody's going to say anything to me about that. Matter of fact, everybody's going to probably pat me on the back and say, you're a good old guy. You never cause any problems. Because, you know, the world will tell you, there are two things we don't talk to people about. Politics and religion. And I'm afraid the world's convinced us that's what you do. So we keep peace. We don't talk about things like that. Because we don't want to be disliked. We don't want to be looked upon odd. We don't want to be, no, so we don't do that. But are we letting God then form us and mold us and make us what we ought to be? Are you allowing God to form you? Are you allowing the light of God to be illuminated through you? Are you allowing God to make the light in you? And lastly, send the light, I must share the light. To send the light, I must share the light. If you will take your Bibles, turn over with me to Philippians chapter 2. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. And writing here in verse 12, notice what he says. He says in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have obeyed, not so much in my presence only, but not much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Our personal life should shine as lights in the crooked and perverse world in which we live. We should be shining as lights. Lights are to be shown in the world at all times. Oftentimes we say, well, I would shine my light, but you know, I'm really going through a lot of hard, difficult things right now. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's family issues. Maybe it's whatever it is. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's school. I would let my light shine, but no. You know, when I think about the Apostle Paul, he said, "What I live my life for Christ." Was it always easy for Paul? I just might remind you to go back and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning about verse 8, where he talks about what? I'm persecuted. I'm forsaken. He suffered. Go back and read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He was beaten. Now, when did he live his life for Christ? All the time. He didn't say, well, things are too hard for me right now. I've been beaten of the Jews 5 times. I've been forsaken by everybody who knows me. I'm persecuted and trying to do the work of God. No, he just kept doing it. What did he do when he was in Philippi, when he was put in prison in Philippi? He preached. When he was writing that letter back to the church in Philippi, and he was in prison, what did he do? He said, all these things have worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm able to preach to people in prison. I'm talking to people I would never have had a chance to talk to if these things hadn't happened. He was letting his light shine when things were difficult. And when things were good, he was letting his light shine. He was sharing the gospel. He was sharing good works. I want to turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 because I think this is what we need to make sure we understand about shining the light. The shining the light is sharing the light. And this is what we see in Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me in verse 8, Ephesians 2, verse 8, where Paul writes, he says, for by the grace of God ye are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The term good works is used over 25 times in the New Testament. It's always used in a favorable sense. It's never used in an unfavorable, which we would think, well, that would be obvious. They're good works. But what he says here about these good works, he says God has created us to do what? To do these good works. We are his workmanship created unto good works. It's not enough just to say the right things. It's not enough just to be around the right things. It is what we do, how we act, that is important. It's proving our words. It's one thing to say, I believe we need to go out and teach the gospel to every creature, but I'm not going to go talk to my neighbor. I'm not going to go across the road and invite somebody to come to church with me, although I know that they're sitting at home. I was just earlier noticing somebody sitting at their house with no intention of probably going to church today. I've noticed the cars as I go by that house. They're there when I come by to go to church. They're there when I come home from church. The cars probably never move. Today is the day you sleep late. It's Sunday. Do I go talk to those people? Or do I say, I'm not going to bother them with all this? We're going to go out. We're going to knock on doors. We've got a gospel meeting. Yeah, we need to go out and talk to people. We need to invite people. We need to get them coming. Oh, now that's work. You're talking about going out, knocking on doors and people we don't know who they might be. There's a soul there. The soul's worth saving. Will we go shine the light? Will we go share the light with them? Will we share our good works? Will we invite them to study? Will we invite them to learn to be a disciple? Are we really interested in going and making disciples? Learners of Christ? Are we really ready to say, yes, let's take this work on. Let's take this work. Let's go and let's send this preacher. How can they hear? Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, if they don't have a preacher. How can they hear the glad tidings, the good tidings? How are they going to know the good tidings? Somebody has to be sent. And somebody has to do the sending. And we're just saying, well, we'll let somebody else do that. There are other churches. There are other people. There are other Christians. Why me? Why me? Because souls need to be saved. And Jesus said to me, let your light shine, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Sin of the light involves our determination to be an influence for good, for salvation of others, to bring glory, to ultimately bring glory to God. And that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And may God help us to do that, to let us send our lights, to send our lights to a lost world. But you know, as we started the sermon, we can't do that unless we have a connection with the light. And it may be that you're sitting here in the audience this morning and you do not have the connection with the light. Maybe it's because you've never named the name of Christ. Maybe you've never submitted to him as we talked about earlier in the lesson. And you need to come this morning submitting yourself to him. Come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ to be buried with him in baptism. Or maybe you've done that, you've walked away from him, you haven't served him as you should. You've distanced yourself from the light. You need to come back to the light. You need maybe prayers for strength, for help, for forgiveness. Anyway, we can help you. Let us know how we can help you while we stand and sing. Won't you come?